Hi, Charles here from Nerd with a Phone Podcast, and you are listening to Tokyo Munchies Podcast, hosted by Kyle, here on the IndieBlastNetwork.com and on Anchor.fm. Stay tuned and get yourself some Tokyo Munchies!
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Tokyo Munchies podcast. I know, it's been a long time. It's been a month. I think it's been a month. I'm sorry, I just had a little bit too much on my plate and couldn't keep up with the podcast each week. And I just didn't really have much to talk about because I think shipping is still a bit iffy here, so I'm not really sure if I can send via Japan Post like we normally do, which is the cheapest option. But I did find out that I can send good quality Japanese snacks, candy, and chocolate to you awesome people through Yamamoto Transport. It's a lot more expensive, and you get it in about probably a week to 2 weeks. So you get it faster, but it's more expensive. And it comes with tracking number and all that good stuff. So I'm going to see what we can do with Yamamoto Transport, the Kuro Neko, the Black Cat Transport Company. And I think Japan Post is probably getting close to opening back up again. So we'll keep our fingers on the pulse. We might be able to get candy back out to you good people. But anyway, got a lot to talk about today and to catch up with. And let's get into the good stuff first. Let's talk about the Tokyo weather. Recently, we've been going through our lovely winter here in Japan, which was fantastic. This year, this season, record dumps of snow again. Like, it's been crazy. Really, really good powder snow dusting all the way from Hokkaido right down past Tokyo. It's just been a fantastic season for skiing and snowboarding. It's off chops, mate. It's fantastic. A couple of cool things too. So on top of the record dumps, due to the elephant in the room, which has been carrying on for the last couple of years, tourism is at an all-time low because Japan's pretty much not letting anybody in. People aren't traveling very much because of the elephant in the room. They're scared to go out and travel around. The Japanese government advises you not to travel unless it's necessary to. They had the Go To campaign, which was meant to promote domestic tourism in Japan to get Japanese to go to different parts of Japan and check it out. That got scrapped because of the re-emergence of the elephant in the room, 2021 edition. So, on top of that record snowfall that we're seeing, the slopes are pretty much quiet as and not crowded. There's no tourists, there's hardly any people, and all the motels are all offering really cheap stays and packages. It's cheaper to travel to the ski fields. There's so much cool, so many bonuses. Like, it's not crowded, record snowfalls, it's cheaper to travel, it's cheaper to stay there, everything's cheaper. The only problem is, I'm not really Genki. I have a bit of a medical problem and I just don't have the gumption to get out there and smash it like I have the last few years. But hopefully I can get back on my feet in the next couple of weeks and get out there and do some boarding, try to bust out some backside 180s, get carried away. But anyway, back to the Tokyo weather. So the reason I mentioned the winter fall is we're pretty much on the cusp of spring now. Spring, as you good people know, is cherry blossom season. So let's break down the weather quickly. Cherry blossom season will come later in a different podcast. So it's Wednesday. It is 3:15. Sorry. The lovely 11 degrees. Yesterday was beautiful. It was sunny. It was clear. It was crisp. It was nice and warm. But it's cold again today. It's down to 11. It was going to drop right down to 2 tonight. So 11 degrees centigrade Fahrenheit for you friends in the US. That's 51 degrees Fahrenheit. It's nice and toasty. And precipitation is at 40%. So there's a good chance it's going to rain. Humidity is at 32 and wind is at 3 meters per second. And man, like, Tokyo, the weather in Japan has been crazy again. It's always crazy. What am I saying? It has been crazy. It's always crazy. I was doing some random 1 week job, travel around checking train stations and stuff all over Japan. And I went out to Hamakaneya, which is out in Chiba Prefecture. It's down in Minamiboso, which is on the tip of Chiba. It's near on the Pacific Island, Pacific Ocean side of Japan, so the water's beautiful. It's a really nice beachy type of area. I was heading out there to go check out Hamakaneya Station, and on the way out there, I had to take this little local line, and it had been raining pretty torrentially in Tokyo and around that area, but I thought, nah, it'll be okay. I've traveled in the rain before, it's not an issue. But as I was going out there, the rain and the wind got worse. Apparently, allegedly, I saw on the news, we'll go to that soon, that there was a bomb cyclone hit, like a boom cyclone, typhoon, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it hit the area and was like, fine, 1 second, there's a typhoon, cyclone the next. So on the way out to Hamakaneya, I got stuck at this little station called Sanyukimachi. And the train pretty much stopped at this little station, and it wouldn't go any further. That was it. It was stopped. I was three stops away from where I needed to go, about probably 30 minutes. And yeah, just couldn't. Yeah, no way, no chance, no way to get there. Walked outside, tried to talk to the staff. This is tiny little train station, tiny little office, a little waiting room for about probably six people. The staff are like, okay. There's no buses, but JR, Japan Rail, had organized a bus to ferry people, I think, to the next stations. So we were waiting around for that. Then the JR inspectors came to inspect the train to see if it could move again. So we're stuck at this little station. There's about probably 15 people all milling around. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's in the middle of the country in Chiba Prefecture, and there's nothing there. Normally, you walk outside a train station, there'd be a convenience store, there'd be a cafe, there'd be a Jonathan's family restaurant, a Denny's family restaurant, it's a yakitori place, a sushi restaurant, there'd be something there, but there's just nothing there. There's a little cafe across the road from the station, a curry cafe, that was closed due to you know what. So, I'm outside looking around, down the street from the station, there's a big pachinko. Pachinko is like a Japanese-style casino. That had been shut down years ago. All the windows are smashed and it was all derelict and looked really cool. I snapped some pics of that. So we're milling around here at the station in the rain. My only options for lunch, for something to eat and drink, is a vending machine with hot coffee, hot corn soup in a can, and cold drinks and water, and an ice cream vending machine. So my lunch for that day was a hot bottle of coffee and a peanut and chocolate ice cream, which was really nice. You can't knock that. I'm not complaining about that, but it would have been nice if you could go to a convenience store, get an obento or an onigiri or a piece of chicken or something. But yeah, that was another interesting tale in the life of Kyle in Japan, kyle.tokyo. The website is coming soon, so stay tuned for that. So yeah, that's the Japan news. I'm sorry, Japan weather. We got a little bit off topic, as we always do, but I don't really care. So on to the next part, the Japan news. Over here at our good friends, japannews.com. We're going to go number one, number two, and then number three. Try to avoid any negative stuff, but it's the news, so it's a given. Okay, number one, Shimane government wants to cancel Tokyo Olympics torch relay leg in prefecture. So in the Shimane prefecture, that's where they're going to have the start the Tokyo Olympics. They've got the torches, nice. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the picture on the website. They have the gold torch for the Olympic relay and the rose gold for the Paralympic. So Shimane governor, Tatsuya Maruyama, proposed cancelling the Tokyo Olympics torch relay leg in the prefecture at a meeting of Shimane's torch relay executive committee on Wednesday, citing the inadequate response to the elephant in the room pandemic by the central and Tokyo metropolitan governments. Torch relay was scheduled to be held last year, but it was postponed to this year and is meant to be held this year, but we'll see how we go about that. I think it should be cool. I think the main concern is crowds. They don't want crowds gathering to watch it. And if you've ever seen the famous Japan Marathon, like the Tokyo Marathons they have here, they have a famous one. I think it's around New Year's. They do it New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, around that period. And it's a marathon race between all the major universities here in Tokyo. And hundreds of thousands of people flock out to watch these solo runners running from point A to point B, jam-packed, fill the streets, waving their little flags, cheering on their favorite universities, their favorite runners. So if they do that every year for just the marathon, you can imagine the turnout that would happen for the Olympic torch relay. And this year, the Tokyo government insisted people, please, please don't come watch the marathon, but people ignored it, and they did. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. We've still got a few more months to go. So the Tokyo Olympics torch relay is up in the air, literally up in the air. That's where you hold it while you're running so you don't burn your legs. You don't carry it by your side. Number two, Japan news number two, hospitals teaming up to ease elephant in the room bed shortages. As many hospitals scramble to locate enough beds to treat patients infected with the elephant in the room, the approach taken by Sumida Ward, Tokyo, can become a wide-scale blueprint in getting people the care they need. On January 25th, the ward introduced a system of coordinating patient transfers between hospitals. Yay! Exciting stuff there. I'm going to keep going. We'll skip the rest of that. And Japan news number three. Next stop, package delivery. Bus and courier link up to serve rural area. Nishi Tokyo Bus Co. and Yamamoto Transport Co., the Black Cat, have teamed up to improve their business efficiency by using passenger buses to deliver packages to an area with a dwindling population. This initiative, servicing a route spanning the city of Akiruno to the village of Hinohara in western Tokyo, has garnered some interest, and it's going ahead. And there's a little interesting picture to go with that article. Yamamoto Transport Co. Oh, the Black Cat, as Japanese like the cruel, like Kuro, Neko. Kuro is black. It's the Japanese word of the day. Kuro. Neko is cat. Kuro Neko. Yamamoto Transport's logo is a black cat carrying a black kitten in its mouth. Not to eat it, but carrying it like a cat carries its kitten. So, yeah. There's a picture here, the Kuro Neko Kuria, Kuro Neko Kuria, that's a good mouth, good tongue twister, is on one of the local buses with his delivery box and bike by the looks of it, and he's just riding that bus like a normal cat, going about delivering packages out in the middle of Akiruno and Hinohara, which is always a feel-good story. Japanese, a major Japanese delivery company, the biggest actually in Japan. I think Sawara and Yamamoto are the biggest two. Yeah, they've said to the bus company, hey, Nishi Tokyo, let's use these empty buses and team up and let's deliver parcels to all these people in dwindling population areas. It's good stuff. I love Japanese initiative and cooperation. It's fantastic. So that's Japan news number one, number two, number three, and the Tokyo weather. We're going to get back to the Japanese snacks. After this break, we're going to talk about Japanese chocolate. So we'll go for a quick break. We'll talk about Japanese chocolate. And then we'll talk about some other stuff. What else we got on the list here? We'll talk about the Japanese chocolate and the new initiative that I'm going to start here at Tokyo Munchies. We'll talk about that after the break too. And some skateboarding, and we'll see how we go. We'll be back after this short message.
Hello dears, my husband used to always ask me, how is your taint so fresh and so sparkly and clean? Well, the secret is I use Big Rig Meek Hot Wax daily. A daily application of it upon my taint makes it fresh as a daisy and it tastes lovely. All the boys down the road always compliment me on the freshness and the cleanliness of my taint. I'm a British grandmother. I'm 94 years old and I'm not really sure what you Americans mean by taint, but I'm assuming it's the place between my a-hole and my prison wallet, as you so subtly put it. But yes, I'm a firm believer in the big rig hot wax, and I will use it every day. Regardless of how clean my taint is, it's never clean enough without a good thorough scrubbing and a solid application of Big Rig Mick Hot Wax. Thank you, Big Rig Mick. I don't know who you are. I'm assuming you're a nice Mexican gentleman. And kisses from Granny in London. I love you. I'll see you next time when I reorder. Thank you, dears. And enjoy a cup of tea and a special plate of spotted dick. Have a great afternoon.
Alrighty then, back to the old favourites, and let's keep moving on with this podcast because we've got a few more things to talk about. So we're going to talk about some Japanese chocolate today, and this is special chocolate. A while back I quit drinking for health reasons and for general sanity as well. I was drinking a lot of the Strong Zero Chew Highs and 9%ers, and they really do a number on you. And I had a couple of issues with that, and so I quit drinking. And it's fantastic. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Love it. It's so good to have a clear mind and a healthy body. I like it. I like it a lot. Not saying I'm 100% healthy. I do some unhealthy things. Actually, do a lot of unhealthy things still, but a lot better than before. But that's not here nor there. We're talking about Japanese chocolate today, and we're going to talk about alcohol-related Japanese chocolate. So even though I quit drinking, I can still enjoy a little taste of alcohol now and then with a couple of crackers in the Japanese chocolate scene. You would have seen a while back, guys, in the original shop, we had the sake, the Nihonshu flavored Kit Kats, and they came in that awesome sake, Nihonshu bottle flavored box. They were fantastic. I think they had a 0.03 or 0.04. 5% alcohol content. There was a white chocolate Kit Kat infused with sake, with Nihonshu. They were really good, man. They were really, really good. One of our best sellers, too. And they're just fantastic. I love them. I kept it a lot for myself, actually. I couldn't part with them. So on that vein, we're talking about a couple today, just two. So these are not really Japanese chocolates, they're from Lotte. Lotte is a Korean confectionery company, but Lotte is so big and so popular in Japan, it's pretty much been adopted by the Japanese confectionery culture. And it's here to stay as one of the leading Japanese confectionery chocolate brands. So I've got two I want to talk about today. The first one I'm going to kick it off with, the Lotte Bakas. Bacchus, with a name like that, you know it's going to be chocolate infused with something nasty. So Bacchus Cognac Chocolate. It's all written in Japanese, but I can read a fair bit of it, and I can understand a fair bit of it. So we've got cognac 60%. So it's made with 60% real cognac. And the alcohol volume is 3.2%. So this comes in a beautiful little green package with a nice little snowflake, golden boss snowflake. I can't read the kanji on that snowflake though. And a little cute picture of a glass of cognac, a bottle of cognac, and a couple of pictures of the chocolate. These ones are actually pretty impressive. You get like a little tray, you open up the box and there's a little slide out tray. And you've got to think about, I think there's about 25 pieces. There's about 25 to 30 pieces in there, little bite-sized individual pieces. And yeah, you pop on your mouth and bite into it, and it pretty much just explodes with cognac, liquid cognac in your mouth. And you can taste it. You can taste the alcohol. It's a beautiful combination, like a nice hot cup of coffee and a couple of these after dinner is a really, really chilled way to relax. I really like it. It's actually one of my go-to things. As I mentioned, I don't drink, but I can still enjoy that little bit of a flavor, a little bit of a feeling. So yeah, this is one. I'll probably put these in the shop. They will be adult restricted. So I'll put these in the shop and there will be warnings on there, and it'll be probably a credit card check to make sure you're not a minor when purchasing these. So that's number one, the Lotte Buckus Cognac Chocolate. Definitely right up there for my choices. And number two for today is another one from Lotte. This one is Lotte Rummy Rum Raisin Chocolate. Again, this is a rum-infused chocolate with raisins. It comes in a beautiful little red box, this one. It has the snowflake on there, gold embossed snowflake. If you know rum and raisin has been a popular flavor for God knows how long. It's one of the old ones, the old tried and tested and true ones. So the rummy, the rum raisin chocolate, it comes in at 3.7% alcohol. It's a little bit higher, just a little bit. And these ones are a little bit different in the packaging. So the Buckus Cognac Chocolate, it was in a little tray of individual pieces. You can just grab one and munch it straight away. The rummy, though, however, comes in the similar thing, like a little tray, but inside you got three individually packaged blocks of chocolate, which break into three individual blocks of chocolate. And then each one of those can be consumed in the normal way you eat chocolate. Again, really nice flavor. The raisins, like the little dried raisins in there, they add a really nice crunchy, chewy consistency. The rum flavor is nice and strong, and it just works really, really good with the raisins and the chocolate. Again, another one of my go-tos after dinner. Nice hot cup of coffee and one or two of these, and that's it. Boom shakalaka, that's my night done. It's onto the net and watching some South Park reruns, or maybe I'm trying to find the time to play some computer games. I've been like a big Nintendo fan for years and years and years, and then after Nintendo, after the NES and the Super Nintendo 64, I went on to PlayStation 1 and then PlayStation 2. Never got a PlayStation 3. I think I moved to Japan 2009, so that was around about the time they came out, I think. Maybe before that. So I just moved to Japan, couldn't afford to buy one. Didn't really want to buy one, like, just moving to a new country, especially Japan, is just so crazy and mind-blowing. There's so much to do, you don't want to be sitting inside playing a computer game. So I missed out on the 3, missed out on the PlayStation 4, missed out on the PlayStation 5, I don't really care. But I found Steam. Now, this channel, this podcast is not sponsored by Steam, but I found Steam online when I was looking for one of the old classic PlayStation 2 games, Borderlands, and I found Steam, and I could buy the original Borderlands 1 plus two extension packs with it for, I think, $15 to $20. And I saw that and I thought, oh, you should be focusing on work. You should be focusing on Tokyo Agents, this skateboard distribution company. You should be focusing on marketing. You should be focusing on Tokyo Munchies. You should be focusing on Tensaka Sports, the new lolly company you're making, the new product company. Oh, so much stuff I should be focusing on working on. But I went ahead and I bought it. I bought Borderlands and I thought, yeah, I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to buy it. It's in my computer. Jumped on Amazon. Got the Prime membership. Yeah, boy, next day delivery rocks. It's so dangerous. So I got the Prime. I bought myself a Logitech controller. Got myself some headphones. Got the game. It's all sitting there. Just ready to go. Just going to find the right time to play it. Just not going to touch it until everything's cool. Until I got my skateboard distribution company, Tokyo Agents, all sorted and running really smoothly. Then I'll have a special treat and play Borderlands. And I was watching a YouTube video from the Top 10s, I think it was, or Geo-Pacific, Geopolitics, whatever, with Stephen Whistler, Simon Whistler, and he kept mentioning, he was talking about earthquakes, and he kept mentioning the San Andreas fault and the super subduction zone, whatever it is. He kept saying, San Andreas, San Andreas. And goddamn, it was like brainwashing, like subliminal advertising. I pretty much went on autopilot back to Steam and bought Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on Steam as well. And again, didn't turn it on, not gonna touch it. Wait till all the work is sorted. Then I'll have myself a nice game night where I'll just get stuck into these games for 8 hours straight and be like a zombie. But yeah, that's a little bit off topic, but that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Japanese chocolate. We're talking about alcohol-infused Japanese chocolate, or Korean, if you're talking about the latte. That's some good stuff. The next thing I want to talk about with the Tokyo Munchies, I'm a big skateboard freak. I love skateboarding. I've been doing it for 26 years, 27 years now. And I started up the skateboard distribution company, Tokyo Agents. So we're importing brands from America, the UK, Australia, worldwide. And I'm distributing them here in Japan and also into all of Asia. So my distribution coverage is all of Japan and all of Asia with the brands I'm working with. Anyway, the point being is one of these companies, Slug Skates Australia, it's the company that I got started on and I love, it's awesome. Jason Slug Hobson, you're the man. So he always does these skateboard raffles where he puts up one of his boards, his new boards or one of the ones he has in stock. And he does a raffle. So you on Facebook, he does it predominantly on Facebook, he'll jump on there and say, okay guys, raffle time. Tonight we're going to raffle a Stony Hawk 8.25. You comment below in the post, like one please or two please. And he'll set the raffle. So I'll wind it back a little bit. Sorry, I got a little bit ahead of myself. He'll set the raffle. It's a Stony Hawk skateboard, 8.25. There's 10 spots at $10 a spot. So in order to claim a spot, you comment one please, or two please, or three please, or five please, however many spots you want. You pay your $10 to Jason's PayPal. When the 10 spots is filled, Jason will announce the raffle's closed. He'll get a box full of balls with numbers written on it, or pieces of paper with numbers written on it. Do it all live on Facebook so you can all watch it, and he'll shake it up, pull out each ticket, and the very last ticket is the winner. So pretty much how it works is, you pay $10 for a chance to win $120 skateboard, and you only pay 10 bucks for a chance to win it. If you win it, it gets shipped to you for free, and you only pay 10 bucks for a $120 skateboard. So it works out great for everybody. If you're the lucky winner, you get a skateboard for 10 bucks. If not, you just spend 10 bucks to enjoy watching a live feed and enjoy having the chance to win a skateboard for $10. That's a really, really cool system. I'm really digging it. So I'm thinking I'm going to introduce the same thing here at Tokyo Munchies. We're going to start doing Tokyo Munchies raffles. I'm going to do it again on Facebook predominantly, like Slug Skates, like Jason does. So we'll probably kick this off next week. So if you're on Facebook, jump on Facebook and look for Tokyo Munchies. Like my page and follow it. And keep your eyes peeled for the Tokyo Munchies raffle coming soon. I'm going to do it in the same format. I'm going to offer up a Tokyo Munchies munchie pack. So that's 30 Japanese snacks, candy, and chocolates. You get two or three DIY packs in there, the Crazy Heart DIY pack, so you make your own candy. There'll be two or three of them in the box. A couple of boxes of Kit Kats. There'll be Umai Balls. There'll be Uaha Chocolate. There'll be lots of different chocolate snacks and candy in there. So you'll be getting around 30 pieces of Japanese candy, chocolates and snacks. And I'm going to run it the same way. There'll be 10 spots at $10 a spot. I'll post it up on Facebook. All you have to do is comment one please, and once the 10 spots are filled, everybody please pay to my Noodle X Ninja, my PayPal account, friends and family, so no one gets charged the fee. Everybody please pay their $10. When everybody's paid, I'll run the draw live on Facebook. And if you're the last number, if I draw your ticket out and it's the last ticket and it's your number, you win a Tokyo Munchies pack valued at $30 plus $20 to $30 shipping. You win it for 10 bucks. $10, that's it. You get a Tokyo Munchies pack sent directly to your house. You can't lose with that, man. 30 of the best Japanese snacks, chocolate, and candy that Japan has to offer from Tokyo Munchies for 10 bucks. Shipped pretty much worldwide. So we're going to do that. We're going to start that. next week. So stay tuned. There's so much more I can talk about today, but I think I'm going to wrap this podcast up. So thanks so much for tuning in, guys. And again, I'm really, really sorry for missing the last month's worth of Wednesday podcasts. I'll try to get back to the regular scheduled podcasts because there's a lot of stuff to cover. And hope you're all doing safe and keeping well out there. And much love from Tokyo, Japan. This is Kyle from Tokyo Munchies. If you got the munchies, then we've got the munchies. TokyoMunchies.com. One day. Peace.